Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear Him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to Him in repentance, He will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you. Thank you, Roman Catholic Church. Christmas has come early to my house. This is Wretched Radio. The Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. proudly announces the skull of Thomas Aquinas. That's right. For an entry fee, you can see, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the skull of Thomas Aquinas. Now, I could be wrong about this detail, but my understanding is it is going to be in Washington, D.C. for a few weeks. The other skull of St. Thomas Aquinas is in France, also at a different museum.
The other one?
Well, they've got a number of them. Okay. It's not easy to be in the relics business, don't you know?
Hello, this is Bob Athelstan with Relics, 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 your source for sacred Christian relics. We carry a wide assortment of relics for all purposes, from earthly miracles to heavenly rewards. Right now, we have a special on the one-of-a-kind skull of John the Baptist. Choose from child, teen, or adult. Hurry fast because quantities are limited. The first 100 people who call in to order the blessed skull of John the Baptist will receive a 2-inch by 2-inch piece of the actual cross. Free. Hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers have attested to the miracles happening in their lives since they have owned these palm-sized chunks of the real, historical, actual cross that Christ himself was crucified on. Pick up our catalog or visit us on our internet site. While you're there, be sure to order our Holy Plate and Chalice dinnerware. Use it the one and original Last Supper. Available in 10 and 20-piece sets. Remember, here at Relics, 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 our motto is you don't need grace when you've got sacred relics. Always at fair prices.
That was my Christmas present from the Roman Catholic Church. They just keep giving us an opportunity to play that. Well, it sounds like a bit, but it really isn't. The show that Martin Luther watched when he was railing against relics in the Catholic Church, the touring shows of bones and bits and nails and pottery that presumably were used, touched, or a part of a saint's body, it agitated him, and rightly so. Why? Well, there's a number of reasons. Number one, they weren't actual relics. Second, there's no power in them. Third, our devotion, our attention, our fascination should not be on a piece of a skull, presumably from Thomas Aquinas. It should be on Jesus Christ. Furthermore, there is nothing about a relic that offers forgiveness. Don't think that the Roman Catholic Church is not out of the indulgence business. It is alive and well. You just don't hear about it very much. There's a distinction, according to this article from... it's Fox News, so it must be right. A first-class relic is a part of a saint's body. A second-class relic is an item that a saint used during their life. And a third-class relic is an item that's been touched to a first or second-class relic. Do you know what Bible verse that is? Yeah, that's right. It's not in the Bible. It's utter nonsense. It's voodoo. It's paganism. It's macabre, or macabre if you must. It's just dark, and it's so not needed. My faith is not strengthened by seeing the elbow of Teresa of Avila. I don't need that for my strength my faith to be strengthened. I have something. You have something. Even Jimmy has something. It's called the Holy Spirit. That's what should encourage you. Reading the Word of God. It is either sufficient or not. So there would be a fifth problem with relics. It compromises the sufficiency of the Bible. The spokespeople for this, they have a reason for going. They hope that Aquinas, who now sees God face to face, will pray for us.
Ooh.
And that those prayers may strengthen our own faith, hope, and love so that we may join the angelic doctor in eternity among the choir of angels. Do you hear the lack of absolute certainty that he's going to be in heaven? Well, we hope. So if you go take a look at this skull, it just might help you get there. Nope, Jesus doesn't need help. You get there. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. And you know what, Jimmy? That reminds me. Did you grab that Russell Brand clip by any chance?
I did.
Okay. This, want to always do a little caveating. That's right, caveating with any sort of celebrity that gets saved. Typically, we like to hold the phone, Henrietta. We just wait, give it time. Let's see. Watching Russell Brand has been a little different than watching a lot of these celebrities that make some sort of profession of faith. Now, could it be a passing fad for him? I hope not. But this dude, he's wrestling with big stuff. Like grace alone, faith alone. Everything he says in this, what is this? Minute and 26. And you could quibble. But this dude is trying to sort. This dude's thinking big.
What does it mean faith without works is dead? Are we saved by faith or are we saved by grace? I think about this a lot, don't you? Like, we are saved by him because he died for us.
That's great. Faith doesn't save you. Grace doesn't take. Jesus saves you.
There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to improve my condition in the eyes of God. His love is absolute and his love is with me right now as surely and equally as it's with you.
It appears a Roman Catholic has not gotten the ear of Russell Brand. He's talking like a Protestant.
No better, no worse than you. So then what does that mean, faith without works? Well, what I've understood from looking at James and Peter, where I am in the New Testament at the moment, and by listening to people who know a lot more than me, and Lord alone knows there's a lot of them, is that when I feel his faith, when I live in faith, I will do good works.
Okay.
Not because there's anything to get, but because I want to be like him, the triune God who lives in relational love, because I want the living waters to flow through me.
Wow, does he take a breath ever? How does he do that? He must just get air through osmosis. It comes through his skin so he can just keep going. That the phrasing on what he said about the love or what, it's like, okay, you and I don't talk like that, but this is a relatively new believer and he's getting it. Grace that has been granted to us from Jesus Christ. It has an outworking. We produce fruit because he has saved us. We don't produce fruit to get saved. Russell Brand is getting that.
I won't want to create a cistern like it says in Jeremiah. I won't want to hoard God's love for myself, or I won't want to hoard the manna like the Israelites did in the desert, not believing that more manna will come tomorrow. So I want to be part of the living flow of his eternal love and act in accordance with it. Bring God's love, bring his kingdom here through my love and through my grace. Is that how faith and works are connected? Let me know in the comments. Am I getting it right?
Not bad, dude. Not bad. The Roman Catholic Church, it mingles works with grace. It is not a free system. It is a work righteous system. And one of the ways you can get your sins forgiven is by visiting the skull, presumably, of Thomas Aquinas. And this is a promise that is going to break the hearts of everybody who tours the Museum of the Bible. It's not going to strengthen their faith. It might be like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of weird and dark, if you ask me, but okay, there it is. And what power does a skull have? None. No power in that. Even visiting a special place, going to Israel. All right, this is parsing it, but I think that this is needed. Does a trip to Israel strengthen your faith? Answer is no. You could say, wow, but I've been there and it did that. It strengthened my faith. No, it didn't. Jesus did. Why? Because you were thinking about him. You were pondering what he has done for you. You were looking at these different sites and you were remembering him. That's how he strengthens us, through our noodles. And so the trip, the zip code, what was there, what you did, what you didn't do, that didn't strengthen your faith. He did when you think on him. Ditto with relics. They can't strengthen your faith any more than looking at the Jordan River can. Thinking about Jesus will.
Here are the seven most unusual Catholic relics. Number 7, the head of St. Oliver Plunkett. Number 6, the brain of St. John Bosco. This relic was stolen and later recovered by Italian authorities. Number 5, the tongue of St. Anthony of Padua. Number 4, the embalmed hearts of 22 popes.
Wow.
With hearts from Pope Sixtus V to Pope Leo XIII. Number 3, the hair and fingernails of St. Clare of Assisi. Her hair was personally cut by her brother, St. Francis of Assisi. Number 2, ooh, the breast milk of the Virgin Mary. Women hoping to become pregnant visit this site at the Chapel of the Milk Grotto in the West Bank. Number 1, the foreskin of Jesus Christ. While different churches at different times have claimed to possess the foreskin, it's been missing since 1983.
One would like to think that that list isn't accurate. Oh, boy. Grace alone. Faith alone. Christ alone. Strengthened by Jesus alone. Not these ridiculous, blasphemous relics. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
But what would it look like for someone to catch sight of your marriage and think, I think it's really, really alive and it's thriving?
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Let God's Word transform your home into what He designed it to be. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at fortisinstitute.org.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of 3 things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's come to this. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you heard philosopher Richard Dawkins claiming to be a cultural Christian. He digs Christianity and what it's done for Western civilization without being very interested in the Christ of Christianity. This was bound to happen. People will make a buck for any reason. Richard Dawkins just released a cultural Christmas album. That's right. Richard Dawkins now has a cultural Christmas album.
Away in a manger, no God could exist. The little child Jesus was only a myth. The stars in the sky are billions of years old. And so is the earth, unlike what the church has told.
I think Richard Dawkins could use some breathing treatments. He sounds a little, little winded doing that.
Joy to the world, for joy has come. Let earth receive nothing. Let every brain think for itself. 'Cause only nature's real. Because only nature's real.
Why do I feel like I need some oxygen listening to this? One more!
Oh, come, all ye faithful, evil and capricious, racist, infanticidal, homophobes. Come and behold me, born the greatest intellect. Oh, come listen to reason. Oh, come listen to reason. Oh, come listen to reason. Because I am right.
And apparently he smokes a lot. Now that's pretty bad right there, if you don't mind me saying so. A cultural Christmas album from Richard Dawkins. But this.
New from Laodicea Records, a Jerry Lewis go. Christmas.
Silent night. Holy night.
All your holiday favorites with that famous Jerry Lewis twist.
Hey, lady.
Can you tell that's a different Jerry Lewis?
Santa Claus is coming to town!
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jerry Lewis.
You're a mean one, Mr. Martin.
That was the first one.
You know, you David. Really are a heel.
Order your copy now and receive a bonus copy of a Jerry Lewis Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah!
David.
Happy Hanukkah!
How can one man sing both Christian and Jewish songs? Does that really matter? Get your copy of a Jerry Lewis Christmas today and have a very Jerry Christmas.
Felicia Rashad. Felicia Rashad. Felicia Rashad, the lady on the Cosby Show. She played Theo's mom. Hello.
Hello, lady. Hoping you are going to have a what sort of Christmas? Might I encourage you to consider reframing Christmas this year? You don't like the holly and the jolly and the Santa Claus and the reindeer, rightly so. So what do we do? Well, I guess we could probably sign another boycott of some store that refuses to say Merry Christmas, but maybe we can all do something. When we remember what Christmas is, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That will change our expectations for Christmas and how we treat those who are going to be coming to our home who don't believe in the Christ of Christmas. Let that be your goal, to shine a light into their darkened hearts this Christmas. When it's done, I'm telling you, you're going to go, this was a good Christmas. This was a good Christmas. Something else that you might consider doing is something that used to be done, I don't know if it still is, inside of mainline Protestant denominations. And that is celebrating Advent. the coming of King Jesus. My dear friend, Hyland Goodman, sent this to me. The different names for Jesus, the different ways that he's described that you can focus on every day leading up to Christmas. And what will that do for you? It's going to build expectancy. And it's going to have you thinking on who the Savior is and what he has done for us. And that is what will grow you. That is what will strengthen you. That is what will increase your assurance. Thinking on him. Not relics. How just utterly ridiculous is that? And so the reports of some of these different relics that are offered out there. The story that I was sharing from the Roman Catholic relics, they quoted a mom who is a homeschooler. She went to see the skull of Thomas Aquinas in hopes that it'll give her the strength that she needs to do homeschooling this year. She's going to be disappointed. Thomas Aquinas never had that kind of power. His skull, if it's actually his, doesn't have that power either. The relics have people looking for strength and hope in all the wrong places. So to give you a little idea and perhaps remind you of how the complexity of Jesus Christ, we have a tendency to hear these terms, these descriptors of him, and we go, yeah, got it. But when you hear them stacked one on top of another, you start to realize, who could have concocted this man? And the answer is nobody. You wouldn't think of most of these things on this 25-word list, but that's who he is. And that should encourage us that these biblical descriptors of our Savior could not have been compiled by human beings. Number one, the Word. You are the Word. You were in the beginning. You were with God. You are God. You are the Logos. Was watching a video. It was on social media. It was on the YouTube machine, so it's reliable and trustworthy. I don't know who the guy was. I can't give him credit. I didn't know who he was, but I was listening to him talk about the Logos. Think of Logos, it means word, but it's also a Greek philosophical term, which can mean intellect, it can mean knowledge, it can mean philosophy, it just kind of how the world operates, the force behind the universe, all of those things. And John comes along and says, in the beginning was the, I'm going to tell you who the word was. You Greek philosophers, you're pondering it. Here is what the word is. It's a person. All of the things that you're trying to sort, he's the one who is the center of all of it. And then he recited a list of all of the logies. Consider all the theology. You hear logos in there? And so all of our theology, soteriology, ecclesiology, pneumatology, it's all got logos in them. But so too do other fields, which we'll call secular, geology. Oh, you mean logos is kind of a big thing. It's kind of a big concept. Yeah, sure is. And that's why when John staked the claim, I'm going to tell you who the Logos is. Why do we have that word in so many of our words? And he had a long... Jimmy, would you look up, if you can, I don't know that you can pull this off, but if you can pull off finding all the loggy words, like geology. He had a bunch of them, and it's like, whoa, that has really influenced all sorts of academic fields. Who is that Logos? Jesus. Two, you're the creator. Through him, all things were made. Three, he's the life. He's the only begotten. He's the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Savior, the giver of living water, the judge of all men. There's a claim. The bread of, by the way, I stumbled into another divine claim of Jesus Christ when he talks about church discipline, wherever two or more are gathered in my name for church discipline, not sitting around a campfire, and he mystically appears. There am I. Whoa, what is that? Jesus is saying he's present with us. That's a claim of divinity. He's the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate of the sheep, the good shepherd, the worker of miracles, the resurrection and the life, the servant, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine, the victor, the son of God, the king, fulfiller of prophecy, teacher, our Lord and our God, and finally, the Christ, the son of God. Ponder those things. And there's more, by the way. But that's 25 to get you through the month to prepare you for Christmas. Jimmy, you got the other log eye?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Go.
Biology, geology, psychology, sociology, anthropology, zoology, criminology, etymology,
right.
Pharmacology,
right.
Neurology, oncology, dermatology.
Got it. We got it just already. Keep going. In other words, our society, our Western civilization, we understand that this knowledge, this wisdom is important, and we parse it out into different fields, and Jesus reigns over all of it because he's not a field of study. He is the Logos. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.